The Ain't No Fang Podcast with Andy Greenberg.
That is the dumbest thing you can possibly do. Be smart about it.
And Steve Zinsmeister.
He's not great. So what are we doing here?
And Derek Montilla.
People are going to hate me for this.
Ain't No Fang from Arizona Sports.
Derek, good news, bad news time. Shelby Miller's back. Good news or bad news?
That's good news.
Okay. Well, his first start was a little bit of bad news, but I think that's to be expected a little bit.
Yeah.
I did like the velocity we saw early on, throwing 96, so that was good. His command was just a little iffy.
Sure.
After Shelby Miller, we got to see a bit of TJ McFarland, who did allow some inherited runners to score, but that's okay. He kept his own ERA clean. And hey, we got to talk to TJ McFarland, the first ever Diamondbacks player to join Ain't No Fang. Not the first ever interview. Last year, when it was still D-backs A to Z, I had a nice little one-on-one with Mike Farron, which was a lot of fun.
Love Mike.
I actually stumped him, believe it or not, on Yuhei Nakashima. He didn't know who that was.
Oh.
And he's a Japanese pitcher in the D-back system. Anyways, the first actual member of the team, TJ McFarland, joined us. We talked about food. We talked about a crazy story involving one of his bullpen mates. I mean, what did you think of that?
I think that we took him a little off guard with the fact that he did not know that that story had been made public.
Yeah. One thing that I was proud of, and you guys will get to hear this here, is that we got real answers from TJ McFarland. We didn't get the stock, well, everybody's doing their best, it's just fun to be a part of a team. We didn't get any of that.
Oh, we got
real raw.
Yeah. We asked tough
off
questions.
The top of the head answers from TJ McFarland.
I mean, it's legit. It is the things that you want to know.
Absolutely. And you're going to hear it right now. TJ McFarland, relief pitcher from the Arizona Diamondbacks. So we just heard this story. It came across today. It's the big news of the day, and we have to know. We got a tweet from Jeff Passan from Yahoo Sports that says, Archie Bradley joined the Yahoo Sports MLB podcast this week and told a laugh-out-loud story that can be summed up in one quote. Quote, right before I'm about to go in the game, I pooped my pants, end quote. What happened?
Hang on. He told that story or
he
what?
He told that story.
He told the story on the Yahoo Sports podcast. We have a story about it right now on ArizonaSports.com.
Oh, my God. All right, well, first off, the golden rule is what happens in the bullpen stays in the bullpen. But apparently, he's fine with telling that story, so I guess everybody else could tell it, too. I mean, the headline says it all, really. I mean, no further explanation than that.
I mean, I don't mean to get into too much of a disgusting detail, but was it obvious?
No. It wasn't obvious. He actually played it off. When you're down in the bullpen and the phone rings, everybody kind of panics. It doesn't matter how long you've been in the bullpen or how long you've been playing this game. Whenever you hear that phone ring, your stomach kind of turns a little bit. But that time, I guess, he wasn't necessarily ready and, had a little accident, but he was all right to pitch. He ended up throwing really well that night, too, I think.
I mean, I guess that adds a new meaning to scaring the bleep out of you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, the literal meaning right there. I'm very surprised he told that story, though.
Well, and like you said, what happens in the bullpen stays in the bullpen. But you guys seem to have a great time just as a unit, just together. You guys have talked about being a family, and it feels like things like this just galvanize you even more so as kind of a group of guys that have become a family.
Oh, for sure. I mean, anytime a group of guys have a shared experience like the one we're having, especially with the team that we're on and the success that we're having, it's going to bond everybody even closer. So, I mean, everybody down there from, we just were able to trust one another and go out there and pitch. And we're truly fans of one another when everybody else is on the mound. So it makes for a great bullpen.
Now, I understand.
And
now,
interesting stories, too.
Yeah, right? some that you never expect to make it to us, of all people, right?
Yes.
Now, I understand that you're a foodie. I am also a foodie at heart. We share that love. And I wanted to ask you, I heard that you once waited in line for an hour for – or not waited in line, but waited for an hour for a burger in Chicago. Can you tell me about this, and was it worth it?
So it's this place called Au Chevelle, and it's this small little burger spot. And, yeah, I mean, like you guys said, I actually – it was longer than an hour. What you do is you actually put your name in, because there's only, like, 12 tables in the whole restaurant, but you put your name in, and there's literally, like, a three-hour wait. And you, like, you have your first meal, put your name in, and then you, like, walk around the city, and then 3 hours later, you're like, oh, let's go get the burger that we put our name in for. But it's definitely worth it, though.
Is there anything in Phoenix that you would wait that long for?
I don't know. I saw in Phoenix that they're starting to pull some Chicago restaurants down to the Phoenix area. And I think there's a Lou Malnati's somewhere in Phoenix.
Yes,
and that's definitely a spot that I would wait for an hour for pizza or more. Portillo's, we got one in the stadium now, so I don't know how long that wait is. But I'm definitely I would be in for a 45-minute wait for a beef sandwich for sure.
So then now you bring up Portillo's in the stadium. I got to ask, if you guys ever get hungry, you know you're not pitching. It's one of those days like you've pitched the last two games. Torrey says, hey, we're not going to use you today. Can you get food from the stadium if you really want it? Like if you're feeling that Portillo's, can you get it?
Yeah, we haven't tried, but it's funny. I was just telling this story to somebody the other day. It's like in the bullpen, baseballs, like our actual baseballs, are like a form of currency. So, like, if you really wanted something, you could trade a baseball for something in the stand. But
well,
we haven't really done that. We haven't sent anybody to go grab food or anything.
Souza proved that he could walk around on the main concourse in Jersey and people don't even recognize him. So I think that you guys might be able to make it out there without a problem.
Yeah, full uni with cleats on, just walking around. I think we'll be able to...
So, what have you traded a baseball for?
I've seen guys traded. It's just throughout my career, I've seen hot dogs, pizzas, Cokes, different things like that. Like on a hot day, maybe a Sunday. I've seen a Sunday be traded before. But it's pretty funny. You can pretty much get anything you want in the bullpen if you wanted to trade for a baseball.
It's priceless currency.
Oh, the perks. The perks of the
absolutely.
Job.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So I have
perks
to ask you,
job, yeah.
Again, as a foodie, do you ever go out when you're out on road games? Is there any city that you particularly love? I know you're from Chicago, so obviously it probably holds a special place in your heart, but is there any other city that you really enjoy to go there to eat?
To eat?
Yes.
I'm spoiled, though. Like you said, I'm from Chicago, so I feel obviously I'm biased towards the food in Chicago. But anywhere I go, really, I look up restaurants constantly. Always try to go to a nice steakhouse somewhere. Seattle's got a really nice one. I really enjoy going to Seattle. They have a bunch of spots to eat around there.
That's where I'm from. I love all the food in Seattle. It's my favorite food city.
Nice.
Yeah. Fantastic.
That's my favorite. That's my favorite travel, like road trip, big league city for sure. Ballpark, city, the food. So I enjoy it there.
So what about when you're at home? What do you like to cook?
I do a lot of chicken dishes. So like any which way you can bake it, grill it. I like to do turkey burgers. I got a special little recipe that I do with turkey burgers. I say special. It's probably like three ingredients, but in my eyes, it's a special recipe. But I like following cookbooks. I mean, I'll get a new cookbook every off season and kind of follow it, and then turn it into my own. But I just enjoy food. As bad as that sounds, but no,
not on this podcast.
No, this podcast is all about that food. This is what we do.
I think our first two episodes this season were strictly about the new ballpark food and what we wanted to try out of that whole lot.
Oh, nice. Actually haven't been able to try any of the ballpark food in Chase Stadium yet.
We got to take them on the you got to come on D-back snacks. We'll get you hooked up with a little taste of everything.
Even just the basic, the churro dog. You got to get the churro dog.
Yeah, no, I've seen pictures and I've seen people eating it and it looks amazing. But
I feel like that's the type of stuff that you wouldn't want to trade baseballs for because it would just ruin your day. Like if you got called out in an emergency to pitch after eating a churro dog, you might end up like Archie Bradley.
Yeah, you got to be smart with the stuff you exchange. Plus, it can't be too messy either because you get food all over your jersey.
See?
You go out there.
I've been saying that for years. Thank you for backing me up on that.
I mean, nobody's pulled the Mark Sanchez and eaten a hot dog on the bench and then gone back out to play.
Yeah, I mean, you'd get one dab of ketchup on your jersey. You'll never hear the end of it from the guys.
No, you just pass it off as blood. You just pass it off as blood, and they make you change it.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, and then you look like a gamer because, you know, it's blood all over your jersey.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, hey, TJ, I know you got to get to work, and you got a big game coming up today against the Marlins, but we really appreciate the time you've given us.
Yes,
thanks for coming on 8-0 Fang.
Oh, yeah, thanks for having me. I appreciate it, guys.
Absolutely. We'll talk to you later.
All right, talk to you later.
So there you go, everybody. TJ McFarland, the first ever D-backs player to be a guest on 8-0 Fang. We're thrilled about that. And I guess anytime the D-backs are on the East Coast, we can get somebody at noon Pacific to join the show.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, fantastic. I love it. So we'll keep in touch with the D-backs, and hopefully next time they're out and about, we can get somebody in to have a little conversation with us. And hopefully next time Steve will be able to make it. I know he was not too happy about that.
No, I was going to say, interesting stat about TJ. He is first in innings pitched in National League.
Really?
Yeah.
I saw an article from MLB.com where they were trying to figure out, you know, heading into the playoffs with these contenders, who is the closest pitcher to Andrew Miller right now. And they had one from all these contending teams. TJ McFarland was the nominee from the Arizona Diamondbacks.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I would think it would be Archie.
I know. I would too. But they didn't go with Archie. They went with TJ. Maybe they expect Archie to slide into a closer role at some point in time.
Perhaps.
I was surprised they also didn't pick Yoshi Hirano.
Hirano, once again.
Very similar situation. Though I don't know how many innings Hirano can pitch in that sense because he's pretty strictly a closer, one-inning relief-type pitcher.
Right. But he's excellent. And honestly, when you look at some of his numbers, he makes the best candidate for the closer role at this point.
At the top of the show, we talked briefly about Shelby Miller coming back. And on Wednesday night's game against the Miami Marlins, Robbie Ray will make his return for the Arizona Diamondbacks. What are you expecting out of Ray and his return to the mound?
I think that it'll be a bit more successful than Shelby Miller. I think Shelby Miller
I would hope so.
Well, I think that they were just happy with that. I think they were happy that Shelby Miller was able to go out and put out a start, even though it was less than four innings, and actually, you know, pitch close to 100 pitches without having any complications, mm-hmm. without having any ill feelings afterwards. I think with Ray and it being an oblique situation, it's a little bit more positive. I don't think that they're looking so much for him to go out and just feel good. I think Robbie Ray is hopefully ready to return closer to the form he was at and strike a whole bunch of people out. I expect that. I expected Miller to kind of have this kind of start. I didn't expect him to come out and wow anybody. Historically, when you look at pitchers coming off of the DL from a Tommy John surgery, they're going to have a slow start back.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Patrick Corbin, it took him a while to get back to his form, you know, and I think the same thing's going to happen with Shelby Miller. The only thing that concerns me with is where he's going to fall in the rotation, where his place is going to be within this organization if he's not able to be a viable starting pitcher.
Well, he's going to have some opportunities because Clay Buchholz went on the 10-day DL with that same injury as Robbie Ray, the strained oblique. We'll see how long that keeps him out for because I think he was the best pitcher Diamondbacks had going right now.
He really was.
Coming up, finish off this series against Miami, then they're coming home for a big homestand. San Francisco, St. Louis, and San Diego. So if you want to get out and see the Diamondbacks, you've got just about a week and a half before they hit the road and then take the All-Star break. So if you want to go see the team, now's a good time to do it. They'll hit the road for Colorado and Atlanta before the All-Star game.
And see them now while they are in the middle of an offensive explosion.
Oh, yeah.
Because compared to last month. I believe they're at 140 runs scored so far in the month of June.
And they had, what, like 80-something in May?
77 in the entire month of May.
Jeez.
So
you just got to hope July doesn't flip back and forth.
We can't have that. We can't have these odd-numbered months.
Yeah, if you want to stay in contention, you got to be solid. And right now, the D-backs are still in first in the NL West by a game and a half over the LA Dodgers.
Are you surprised by that?
That they're still in first?
Yes. Does it feel surprising based on the ups and downs this team has had that they're still
in first? It is a little bit because May was so bad, mm-hmm. but April and June have been so good. You would think that somebody else would be there, but the Dodgers started off so poorly that they've had to make up ground. Mm-hmm. And I believe they're 26-9 or something and on that kind of streak, which is really impressive. And they've managed to very easily get themselves right back in it. But Dodgers right now, a half game back of the Cubs for the top wild card spot. And it is very close in the National League.
Sorry about that. Since May 28th, the D-backs have the best record in the National League at 18-8. So, you know, they've been doing some
big
things,
that.
But the Dodgers are right there behind them, and that's the reason why it's still just a game and a half. It's very close.
Well, we hope you all enjoyed TJ McFarland. We sure had a great time talking to him. Steve will be back next week, and until then, thank you for listening to the Ain't No Fang podcast.